Hey everybody, I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I record on my drive home from work. Let's get to it. This week's episode is all about the basics of gamification. It's a buzzword in education circles, and often maybe one that is either misunderstood or not really so fondly received. So I figured I'd do some 101 level conversations about what gamification is and is not, and walk you through what that could look like maybe in your own classroom or content area. So maybe we can answer some questions here. These podcasts are always about 10 minutes long. I record them in my car on the way home as a sort of way to debrief what my day looked like, but at the same time to ask questions to the Twitterverse, to ask questions to the whole world of great teachers out there, to lean on my professional learning network all through the social media channels and connect with great teachers all throughout the whole wide world. So if you have questions, even though this is like the monologue format where I record a bunch of words in a row, please feel free, please, to message me afterwards. I'll put my link in the show notes, how to get a hold of me, and my Twitter handle. And I would love to take the conversation further, both online and wherever we can do it. So let's do it. But about gamification and the basics behind it. For those who may not be familiar, simply stated, the idea of what they call gamification is the practice of applying elements that you would typically encounter in like a sport or a game, like points or scoreboards or badges or timers. So applying those things, those game-like elements, to non-game settings. I guess the biggest, easiest example is to think of something like the Boy Scouts of America, or the Girl Scouts, merit badges. You get a little badge every time you complete or demonstrate a certain skill set to a standard. That would be an example of gamification in like a club or activity I think most people are pretty familiar with. Things like loyalty rewards or airline frequent flyer miles. It's another way to give users points that have some perceived or real value. And it comes like a game, right? Like when I was a kid, there was, I think one summer there was like Pepsi points, right? You collect X number of Pepsi points and you can buy like, a free, sweatshirt or like a Frisbee or like an inflatable raft. I think there was actually a lawsuit because one of their commercials had, and if you collect like a billion points, you win like the Pepsi jet or something like that. And so somebody was like, okay, I'll collect the billion points. And they did. And then they tried to get a jet and Pepsi was like, oh no, we were just kidding. But that's a gamification metric here. Again, collecting points, sort of cashing them in towards something. Cigarette companies and stuff like that used to make that. You get like Marlboro swag or something like that. That exists not just in like the tangible goods. Here's a blinker because I really do record this in the car. Also in the digital world as well. So things like when you buy a product on Amazon and after you buy it, you get to leave a star rating for like the quality of your transaction. Or maybe if you're on Yelp and you're trying to do like a review of a restaurant or a place where you, walk your dog, groomers or something like that. There's this star-based rating. eBay did that. eBay was like one of the big pioneers at like giving stars for things that people feel like they've had a transaction. They have the chance now to rate and rank that. Uber does the same thing. And we now as consumers almost come to expect the chance that, hey, I had a transaction with you. Let me leave a comment in the form of like a star rating. And I think that's really a cool thing that sort of just seeped in under the cover of Nightfall and everyone just takes it for granted now. That we kind of look at things based on their star ratings. You know, it used to be that hotels were rated by professionals and they're like the 4-star or the 5-star hotel ratings. Or restaurants had like the Zagat rating. And so there's a professional accrediting body who says that. Or movie critics like Siskel and Ebert were the ones who gave the thumbs up or thumbs down about a major motion picture. And everybody kind of took their word as gospel because they were like the critics, the capital C version of a critic. But in this shift towards this social media culture, we have a lot of gamification in just the simple everyday interactions. Everybody gets to be a critic and everybody has a chance to sort of chime in. And when we push the button on our phone, it gives us that instant feedback and that gratification that, hey, I'm part of this ongoing game of improving this person's star rating or maybe taking it down a few pegs. And that actually helps us be informed as consumers to figure out what type of places we would go. You go to like Travelocity and you can see like the star ratings of hotels based on, guest feedback. Or you watch a movie and you can see the Rotten Tomatoes, like the tomatometer or tomatometer or whatever it is. It's like a thermometer of how much the critics liked it, but also how much the average movie-going public likes it. They have like their certified fresh ratings, and so those are gamified elements there too. And so in education circles then, hey, cool, a siren. Washington, D.C. folks, we got a lot of traffic and a lot of sirens. In gamification in the classroom then, it's taken the same ideas of those points and those badges and those leaderboards and applying it to the way that we approach school. Now, this is not just to say, like, replacing one-to-one where that which used to be you got a grade for it, now you get some points for it, like towards a leaderboard. But it also opens up the ability to take the way that we design games and treat our lesson plans, treat our unit plans, treat our discourse with students like they were inspired by the same thing. And I'll give you some examples because it can get kind of nebulous. So at its most basic, it could be something like, you've maybe been familiar with something like Class Dojo. Class Dojo is a, sort of a behavior management or classroom management app. Each student has a little icon. They're like little monsters, like little cute monsters. And as a student performs a certain action, either a desirable one or an undesirable one, teacher pushes a button next to the kid's face and or the kid's little icon, and they then award them like a thumbs up or like a gold star, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe a negative, like a buster icon or a thumbs down icon for certain behaviors you flagged with pluses and minuses. But then the gamified element of this is you're not just putting check marks and plus marks or clipping clothespins in one category or another. The individual student gets the data that they can see, like on a dashboard, how they performed in your class. So like, hey, you had an 85% positive rating today. These are the three or four or five things that you did really well. Here's the one or two things that you remarked maybe down on or off on. Maybe like you didn't have your book or you were like playing on your cell phone or something like that. So that's kind of where gamification could be at its most basic. The challenge, though, is stuff like that is not particularly exciting for teachers who've kind of already figured out how classroom management works. And if the only game in my class is Can You Behave, I don't think that's a game that a lot of students really, A, would find particularly fun, or B, would find particularly challenging. And so the challenge, then, is to how to use that same model and the methodology to do, like, next-level gamification, if that makes any sense. So there are other platforms out there, like 4Pay, and they are available to teachers of all content areas that use that gamified thing sort of to the next level. One such example would be Classcraft. If you've never seen Classcraft before, imagine like a World of Warcraft type interface where you have like this mystical, fantasy-inspired futurescape or, you know, ancient pastscape. It's never really clear where they set these far-off tales. But each student has an avatar that they can custom design. And just like in Class Dojo, then that avatar becomes their digital representation of themselves in the game. And then they earn points and they earn badges and they unlock certain side quests. So maybe you're in a unit on, let's say, fractions. And the assigned homework was to do problems 1, 3, 5, and 7. There may be like a side quest on, if you want to learn more about fractions, do problems 2, 4, and 6. And if the student can do that, they then unlock like character experience points or XP. And then that helps them level up their abilities. And so in the Classcraft world, you might have the ability to like level up the way that you your character looks, right? So you can unlock like new wardrobe or new equipment or gear for your electronic character. Because the research says that the more time people spend creating and building and maintaining their avatars, the more invested they actually feel in ownership of that thing. And I guess that kind of makes sense when you think about like people who tend to a garden in their own backyard. Like, it's never going to win any prizes, but you're just really proud that it's yours. And as you've built it and grown it and sort of cultivated it, you're really proud to see like that next thing kind of spring up there because you helped to kind of bring that to life. And so that's how the kind of Classcraft model works. More advanced than that, because some people don't really care about their game avatar, you do get the ability to unlock certain upgrade abilities. There's an acronym in the gamification world. They talk about SAPS, S-A-P-S. And you can unlock status, or you can unlock access, power, or stuff. And sometimes stuff is like, you know, decorations on your thing. But for other people, to be able to be seen with an avatar who has like a brightly colored headband, that's a new level of status. Think about like if you are in martial arts, for example, belts, leveling up from like a brown belt to a black belt. There's a status that comes with that. But you can also unlock this idea of certain maybe powers. So the game might say, hey, if you've completed X number of side quests, you've earned the ability to maybe turn in a homework late, for example, or the ability to use a note card on a test. So those are just some of the sort of brass tacks basics of how gamification kind of can play out. We'll talk about it a lot in this podcast, but I wanted to give sort of a starting point because sometimes this can be overwhelming, and I figured bite-sized PD is great, especially for teachers on the run. So here's your 10-minute version today. I think I actually went about 11 minutes. Thanks again for listening. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name, M as in Mary, E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, and EDU like teaching, because I like teaching, and I would love to talk more about it. Tweet at me. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time for another podcast. Thanks.